because you don't often catch me. Boy, I was caught flat-footed on that one. Now, the thing that makes it so precious is that Eric and I have been friends for God, I don't even know how long. But we're more than friends. We're companions of heart. He is a man I have come to love, cherish, respect. He is a man of vision. He's a leader in the region. He is a brother par excellence. I tell you, the man, his congregation, his wife and children, they are the kinds of folks that you would hope sometime in life to meet. But to be befriended by them and received into their home and to their fellowship and to be honored in their midst is just real glory. And I have such a deep reverence for him. So many of you have had exposure to him through the years and his participation in the Mid-Atlantic leadership team. He is a very capable man. He was one of the four with whom I traveled to Cuba just in this past January. And Eric and I have sojourned together over in the Ukraine. And I just have the highest regard for him as a man of God, his ministry, his manner. He's just a brother of tremendous excellence. So I ask you to stand and receive today my dear friend and pastor and apostle, Eric Yarbrough.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord, everybody. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, brother. Well, I hope you don't mind if I come down once in a while. Okay, good. A little high for me, getting nosebleeds. Amen, amen. Well, first, Lanny, I thank you for introducing me. Lanny and I, we are just buddies. We're just good old buddies. I don't know a better buddy than Lanny. That's true. We are sometimes referred to as the Beltway Group. A couple other pastors and I that fellowship together quite frequently. And Lanny has just wedged his way into that group. We had opportunity to travel to New Mexico and to visit Sam a few years back, and Lanny was one of the minorities with us. And we had him along in case we got pulled over by the police. We'll have someone to but he's just a dear friend of ours. He and Patty, and we love them. We love them. We love them. We love them. And it's not anything I wouldn't do for he and his wife, and of course all of you as well. But that we're just thrilled that we know Lanny, and he's just an earnest brother who loves the Lord, gives us 100%. There's no guile in him, none at all. And I just appreciate that. You don't find a lot of people like that. But when you find them, you learn to receive them because the giftedness in them is priceless. Priceless. And so all that mushy stuff out of the way now. We just hug and be ourselves, and we had a wonderful time in the Ukraine, a marvelous time in Cuba, and we're going to have a beautiful time today. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. There's many things on my heart and are stirring around in my spirit, rather, and I've been trying to see how the Lord will have me to move or to do. And at our church, we just do like you guys do, flow with the anointing. And so, I really sense that there's, I want you to turn to Romans, the first chapter first, and we'll start right there. I really believe the Lord will have me to say something to you as a ministry. And we are family, so I don't come to preach at you. I come to talk to you and all. ask you to open your hearts and to receive. We are experiencing God in a different way as well, in a greater way than in the past years. We're seeing healing take place in the worship. We're seeing people being delivered and all types of diseases being healed and what have you, as well as you are. You know, God is doing a thing, and he's doing it among his body. He's doing it in a very magnificent way. It may seem subtle in the beginning, but after a while it becomes out in the open, and it's become just a way of life, just the way that we live, the way we are. There's no pretense about it. We don't have to muster anything up. We just be who we are, the sons of God. And that, to me, is powerful as we walk in that revelation and understanding. Amen? Amen. Amen. Now, I do much better when you talk back to me.
Come on.
I have a bad habit that when I don't get much response, it causes me to go a long time. And you're the same as my congregation. They do the same. They start livening up. Say, let's get out of here. But if I can leave a thought with you just a moment, just for one thought, just one right now. I will start with Romans, the first chapter, and I will start with the 16th verse. And if you can just hold on to that and all for just a moment, and I believe the Lord will give us the understanding we need. It says, I'm reading out of the King James Version. It says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, but it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth." And I'll just leave it right there. That's important that we understand that. It's important that that be a reality in our lives. Why? Because the times that we live in, we're going to see all kinds of things that we think are hopeless, without hope. And from man's perspective and from the world's perspective, it is without hope. But from our perspective, there's hope. There's hope because we have the gospel. It's important that we understand that. Or we'll give up on people. We'll give up on families, communities, neighborhoods. We'll give up on things that come and challenge us. We'll give up on our very own if we don't realize that we are carriers of the gospel. And the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. When everything else seems hopeless, and it will, when everything else, there's no answer, and there is none except for the gospel. And guess what? We are the people of God who carry the gospel. Amen. And that should be, and I'm seeing an excitement in you, an excitement that goes beyond just being excited, but about a joy that's in you that's regular. I like that. I like that. You know, not something made up. It's regular. And the excitement, I was so glad last Sunday we celebrated along with everybody else Resurrection Day and what have you. And we had a very good time. Everyone who participated in the program that we had was, or the service that we had, they did an excellent job. Excellent job. And it's important, it was exciting to me to understand that when they came to the tomb, it was empty. Oh, that's an empty tomb. Amen. An empty tomb. Can you imagine that? Empty. But I began to understand that it was empty, but it was also full of the promises of God. An empty tomb full of promises. Hey, that's something, isn't it? Amen. Amen. Praise God. And I began to realize that the promises, among all the other things we can come up with, are you and I. Hey. Amen. Praise God. Now, I'm just talking a little bit. There's so many things that God has given, and I know I can't go through all of them today. I won't try to go through all of them today. But he's just talking to us about all kinds of things. Loosen the bands of wickedness. You know, seeing our family members. You know, there's hope for every family member. That's right. Amen. 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 Anyway, let's go to Obadiah. We're going to go to Obadiah. Okay. Obadiah is right after Amos. right before Jonah. And Amos and Jonah, as you all very well know, is in the Old Testament. Amen. And my Bible is on page 899. Amen. We're going to Obadiah. That's a short book, one chapter. And I want to get straight to it. I want to get straight to verse 17. And I believe the Lord gives me this for you, your house, to speak to you as a house, as a place of refuge, as a storehouse. Amen. And so I want to give this to you. I don't know everything that you do and everything that you're involved in, but I don't need to know that right now. But I want to say this to you. It says, but unto Mount Zion shall be deliverance. Let me hear you say deliverance. And there shall be holiness. Let me hear you say holiness. Now I'm speaking to the whole house, so I need the whole house to respond. Amen? Okay. I'll read it again. It says, but unto Mount Zion shall be deliverance. Let me hear you say deliverance.
Deliverance.
Amen. Good. And there shall be holiness. Let me hear you say holiness.
Holiness.
And it says, and the house of Jacob shall possess their possessions. Now, there's a lot here. And I'm going to try to just explain it the way that I hear the Holy Spirit say it to me. Is that he's speaking to you. And he's saying, in this house shall be deliverance. And holiness. In fact, I understand that without holiness, there is no deliverance. And if there's deliverance, there's holiness. So he says, in this house, there should be deliverance. In other words, there should be a place where people can come and find safety, and they'll find themselves delivered of those things that have held them captive. Very important we understand it. It's in this house. It's not that you're so special. But you are special. I don't want you to, you know, which I know you're not. But God has storehouses all throughout his nations. And you are a storehouse. And he says now, the house of Jacob. House of Jacob, as far as I'm concerned, is the house that once was something that was ungodly, that was not right, was not worthy, but now has been made worthy through the blood wash. Washed by the blood of the Lord. Okay? If you know anything about Jacob, he was a surplanter. But somewhere along the line, Jacob was transformed into Israel. Are you understanding, Sid? You understand that, right? All right. And so when he talks about the house of Jacob, he's talking about what was and what is now. And so he says now, the house of Jacob will possess the possessions. And sometimes immediately we go to things and all the things that we know about that we might desire to possess. But he's talking about more than that. In fact, he's referring to the hearts of men and women. That the house of Jacob and the house of Joseph will possess their possessions. And that tells me something, you see. It tells me that what's going to happen is that you're going to begin to possess the hearts of men and women with the gospel. You'll win their hearts over with the gospel. And in that, everything that they possess, you'll possess. Because you'll not only possess the things, but you'll possess their heart. When you win someone over, whatever they have, they're willing to give. Are you understanding that? And so he says now, in this house shall be deliverance and shall be holiness. That's going to be very important because it talks about the house of Jacob being like a fire and the house of Joseph being like a flame. And we know that the glory of God should come as a refiner's fire. We know that our God is a consuming fire. Now, the Lord is saying these things because, see, there's some things that need to be burned up. In the midst of the people, there's some things that are going to be burned up because you being the vessel that will carry the gospel, there are going to be some things that burned up. In fact, this is how salvation will take place for many, because of the presence of God's glory in you through the gospel will burn up that which is unprofitable in their lives. And so it's important we understand it. We see all kinds of things happening in our time. We see all types of things that are spoken about in Romans, the first chapter, things that even carry people over to the place of being reprobate in their understanding. But the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. So where we have looked at things and see there's no hope, no hope for my marriage, no hope for my husband, no hope for my wife, no hope for my children, no hope for my neighborhood, no hope for wherever you see, there's no hope. No, there is hope. And the promises of God is that you will carry the gospel and you will see through the burning, the flaming of the gospel of the word that is given, deliverance takes place. Holiness comes. And this is important to me. It should be important to you. Because in that, the bands of wickedness are loosed. The captives are set free. The oppressed are relieved. The wounded and brokenhearted are healed. You see, this is important. And today, you know, we had some episode of healing taking place and what have you. And we'll probably have some more take place as well. But what the Lord's been sharing with us, has been sharing us that desire for breakthrough. And to know that we're not alone. God has assigned his own angels to each of us, that we're not alone. And that there is breakthrough. God has planned breakthrough in his own timing for each of us. Breakthrough, just like he planned with David. Breakthrough. I have a tendency to talk without going to scriptures. And okay, let me finish this Obadiah thing first. I want you to understand. I know you understand. I see you nodding your head and what have you. I know you understand. I see your eyes. I see that you understand. You're taking it in. But this is for you, the house. I don't know about your house. I know about Lanny, but I don't really know about your house. Your house. But seemingly your house has been one that has been despised. It's not always been well received. You're the jealous, you're one that people envy, jealous of. Well, I don't know whether it's true or not. That's what I sense. Okay? And the Lord says, no, but. You'll be a flame. You'll be a fire that will bring deliverance to the people. And he says, now you possess their possessions. To me, that speaks higher than just the normal things that we think about. I'm seeing and I'm sensing high places. Possessing their hearts with the gospel. Or not that you're owning them, not that you're ruling over them, but you're giving them the gospel and you'll set them free. The gospel has captured them. Captured their hearts. Boy, I wish the Lord was saying that to me. He's saying it to me too. I just wanted to give you that particular word first, because I believe that's the word that God will give me to give to the house. You can examine it. You know, you can examine it. But the Lord says that deliverance, holiness, fire. Y'all sang the song today, talking about fire, come down, it's fire, fire. You know, I said, wow, that's, I like the way the Lord does it. You know, fire. And I see it. I see it. Because see, in me, I am not disturbed, but I am not settled for people just to be lost and continue to be lost. So I'm seeking the Lord. Lord, give me wisdom and understanding. What would you have me do? How should I pray? How should I speak and treat the ones that I know to be lost? How did I pray for them? How did I watch for them to see the captives set free? Amen. And I know Atlanta is on the same accord. He's on the same accord. And I'm coming just today just to add my little bit that God will give me to add to whatever's been already done. But to affirm that this thing is real. This thing is real. And we'll start calling out names. We start calling out names. One time I was a little careful not to call out names during prayer time. You know, but then because I didn't want anybody to know that I was praying for them. But no. I call out names now, call out family names because there's something happening there. As I'm beginning to understand as I pray and as I speak, as I will do as the Lord will give me to do, but lives are changing. You see? Whereas all other things that had happened before were just things that just swept things under the carpet. Didn't make a change, didn't make a difference. Now there are differences. So I begin to have, especially the intercessors and when we're small prayer groups, we call out names. We call them out. You see? And begin to speak. We begin to want to see what is it, Lord, that you would have us to loose in their lives. How can we unwrap the bands of wickedness off from their lives so they can be free? I remember the story where Jesus, not story, the incident where Jesus met this person that had all of these demons, 2,000 of them. And then when Jesus came on the scene, the person, not the demons, but the person responded by worshiping the Lord. The person that gave me an indication that inside all the things, but beyond what I could see, that person wanted to worship God, but just didn't have the ability at all the time to do what it wanted to do. It needed some help. And so when Jesus came on the scene, it began to arrest everything and allow the person to do what it wanted to do. That was to worship him. And the reason why I come to that conclusion, because when the Lord spoke to the man, the demon interrupted and answered the question. He says, "We be many." That wasn't the man. That was the demons talking. You understand what I'm saying? Okay. Point is, when the anointing came, when the fire came, that which was in the house that wasn't like God had to leave. What did they say to Jesus? Well, have you come to torment me before my time? They already knew, I got to go. Now, if it's true that one can put 1,000 to flight and two can put 10,000 to flight, and we're just talking about us. We're just talking about you. Come on now. You got to understand, we must understand as the body of Christ, as the sons of God, that when we come on the scene, it causes a disturbance in the atmosphere. And that which is not like God rises up. But it also, it sets that soul to the place where it realizes, I can receive what I want now. I want the Lord. I don't want this. In fact, if you venture to be able to interview anyone who's under all these different conditions and circumstances in their life, being held captive, if you could just talk to them, not the spirits that are controlling them, but to them, then they'll tell you, I don't want this. I don't know why I'm going this way, but loosing the bands of wickedness. Here, as I pointed out in Romans, it is the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. So we are not to be ashamed. But every opportunity we are to give the gospel. I'm trying to find ways now when we have couples fellowships and what have you. You know, most time couples don't like to, our couples don't like to come together if we're going to just talk about issues. Why? Because they feel like, you know, their issue will come up. And they don't want the cover pulled off of them in the midst of everybody else. If we just have just a regular fellowship, like karaoke or something like that, with some food and what have you, or they all come out. But if they know we're going to talk about a certain issue, no. So the Lord began to give me wisdom about how to give the gospel in the midst of our fellowships. Yeah. Because the gospel, God began to show me that through fellowship, fellowship is a means by which we can grow stronger and overcome our issues. Just like he said, the poor you have with you always, as long as you're in this life, you're going to have issues. But if we come around good, godly fellowship, as Christ being the center, then every issue can be addressed. So the thought behind that is that have you ever noticed that you, child of God, son of God, people of God, when you are around certain people and you're consistent in who you are, that they begin to change and come up to the standard that you have set? And you don't really have to say a whole lot. Just be who you are. That's what fellowship, that's what I'm talking about, through the fellowship. So we sang good old karaoke. Well, we were singing good old songs. We did good old karaoke. We had good old food. And no one wanted to leave. It's 11 o'clock. Nobody wants to leave Saturday night. You see? Why? Because they've dropped all their defenses. They've opened up. So now we can give the gospel. Oh, no, not sit down in a group and begin to teach them things. I can begin to say things that presents the gospel. Mm-hmm. And it causes them to do what? I begin to notice that when I have a practice, my wife keeps me in this practice of opening the door for her. You see? So when I get out of the car, I try to make sure I get around in time, open the door for her. Sometimes I don't make it in time because she's kind of fast. So so I'm telling her, slow down. Give me a chance. Opening the door for her. Well, you know, some of the fellows, they would tease me, you know, like, you know, I'm really henpecked or something, what have you. But guess what I begin to notice? They're starting to open the doors for their wives. In fact, if I perhaps forget and don't open the door for my wife, guess what? They're the very ones that come to me. You didn't open the door for your wife. That's what I'd be talking about. See, fellowship and being a child of God is fun, full of joy. And the joy, there's no more joy that I can expect, that I can see now, than laying hands on the sick and see them recover. I like the way y'all were just like, this is just normal. You know, didn't have to make a face or anything. You didn't have to get all ugly looking and what have you because you're getting ready to pray for somebody. Yeah, you know? Yeah. Getting all ugly doesn't make me feel like there's joy. It don't make me feel like there's any power either. You understand? Yeah. But the joy, I get joy when you can lay hands on the sick and see the sick recover, when you can cast out demons. Amen. Get joy about that. Amen. Y'all get joy about that too, don't you? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. All right. Now, and so I want you to understand that the Lord will say to you, then be in hot pursuit. Be in hot pursuit. Be in hot pursuit. Mm-hmm. Hot pursuit. Hot pursuit means that there's a compassion that's in you that God wants to see released as you pursue to regain that which has been taken away. Hot pursuit. And I'm going to try to use the passage that is in 1 Samuel, the 30th chapter, concerning David, when he asked the Lord, should I pursue? And the Lord says, pursue. And he asked the Lord also, will I overtake them? And the Lord says, you shall overtake them. And then the Lord says also, and you shall recover all. For many of us, if we looked at things, we'll see that sometimes our adversary seems like he's so far ahead. He's so far ahead. He has to jump on us. But the Lord says, no, be in pursuit. And you shall overtake him. And not only shall you overtake him, you shall recover all. David has a sense, and let me get some scriptures first. Let's go to, we're in Obadiah, okay? And Obadiah, I wanted you to understand that the Lord was saying to you that there should be deliverance and holiness in this house. And your house should be a house of fire. Yeah, it should be like a flame. People will sense the fire of God, the glory of God, just by coming in this house. Just coming into your presence, coming wherever you gather. Okay? And you have to know that. With a sense of humbleness, you just know that. There's a sense of expectancy. I just know that. So if anyone was to come in and they're having issues, they're having challenges, there's things in their life that need to be corrected and what have you, you have the sense that the anointing is there to break every yoke. Amen. What I tell my people now is, hey, I'm trying to get them to the place where bring somebody, bring them. Just bring them. And we're gathering ourselves to be to the place where you don't have to bring them anymore. We go get them. That's why we're trying to get ourselves to that position now. Okay? Amen. Amen. Now, I just need to come down just a little bit because I like to be close. I can feel you better. Amen. Amen. Praise God. I can feel you better. I can sense you better. Amen. Praise God. Let's go to 1 Samuel 30th chapter right quick. And I'm going to speed up a little bit because I know that you've all been responding, so I shouldn't go very long. Amen. And we read from the first verse, and it says, and it came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day, that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag, and smitten Ziklag, and burned it with fire, and had taken the women captive, and there therein they slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captive. Is there, you know, sometimes there's a question of, I made a mistake, I didn't make the right judgment, I didn't do the proper thing, and what have you. And there's sometimes some things happen as a consequence of that. And this is what happened with David. David made a move that was not very wise. He left his home or his camp unguarded. And therefore, the Amalekites came in, and they burned the city down and took everyone captive. Didn't kill anybody, but took them all captive. Maybe just used them as slaves or whatever down the line, but he took them all captive. And you can imagine David and his men coming back and finding the city all burned down and their wives, their sons, and their daughters all taken captive. That could have been very distressing. Amen. And so David is almost like, if we bring it up to modern time, that there's some things that we have done maybe in the early stages of our life, that maybe we open some doors for some things to come in and to happen in our lives or in our family lives, that now we regret that we did that. Maybe we dibbled and dabbled in some things that we really weren't really aware of what we were doing, but now that we know, we kind of said, oh, I wish if I had it to do all over again, I would do it another way. You know? And therefore, some doors were open that have, you see some residue or you see some things there that you can point back and say, if I had done it differently, maybe this wouldn't have happened. You know? It might have been something you said or whatever. You know? You know? You ever thought about those kind of things? And so David was in that same predicament. Him being the leader, he had made a decision about some tactical moves, and it was not a good decision, and therefore we see the result of it. And now his wives, and his children are being held captive, along with everybody else's. And here we see it, all kinds of things happen, and so we'll move kind of swiftly, and we'll see, it says now, verse 4, then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept, until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives were taken captive, okay? And they gave the names, okay? And David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. That's very important we understand what David did. David encourage himself. So I would say to you, if you're finding yourself having questions being asked you, questions and thoughts come to your mind about some things that happened in the past, that you will begin to find yourself being encouraged in the Lord. And begin to find rest and peace in him. Go to the Lord and find comfort in him. Be encouraged. Don't be discouraged. Don't be condemned, but find yourself being encouraged of where you are now, because you now are in a position where you can do something about what happened in the past. Amen. Yeah. It's interesting how sometimes the adversary would try to make you feel so hopeless and helpless that you can't change things or you can't rectify that which has already happened. Well, not that we dwell in the past, but sometimes the residue of our past life tends to always be back there saying little things. And if you want to shut that thing up, then you need to just find yourself in the Lord and find yourself in the newness of what he has already done. Amen. Like I said, the tomb is empty, but it's full of promises. And one promise is that now you will walk in the newness of life, his resurrected life, with power. Amen. Amen. And that which you where you were taking advantage of before because you didn't know or simply because you were disobedient doesn't matter now that you're in Christ, because now you can speak to those issues, and even those lives that were affected by the things that you did or didn't do can now be touched by the gospel of Jesus Christ and be set free. That's what I like about it. I like the fact that I can see now those that have been held captive, whether it was by my doing or by my instrumentation, or by some other instrumentation, it can now be set free. Oh, God. Jude puts it this way. He says, now, build up your most precious or holy faith by praying in the Holy Ghost. Then he gives you some activity. He says, now, you may have to pull some out of the fire. I love it. Because I begin to envision those that once I had thought were, oh, that's no hope for that one. Oh, it's going to take a miracle for that one. Then realize that God might work that miracle through me speaking the gospel or having the audacity to reach into the fire and pull them out. Oh, God, I love it. That makes me look at everybody differently. I look at everybody, you are a prospect for the kingdom. What's your issue? Okay, let me hear the Lord. Should I pursue? Can I overtake what the devil has done? Oh, God. Oh, God. We had a lady that joined the church, she and her husband, family, they joined the church. And well, the husband, he was really wanting to join. She didn't really want to join right away because she had some issues that she felt she needed to be taken care of first before she could really be a full member. You know how we have those religious things about it. And so she said to me, so, you know, I never come on her real hard, like, you need to correct this and correct that. Just be consistent. Until finally she said to me, she said, Pastor, she said, I have a tendency to not tell the truth. And she went on down the line, a whole bunch of things that, you know, that you would expect of people who are just beginning to understand who they are. And she said, I'm going to need you to pray for me one day. And so, you know, I didn't try to press the issue. I said, yeah, sure, certainly, you know. So last Sunday, when I gave an invitation for anyone who needed prayer, going through some hard times, got some issues that need to be broken in their lives, what have you. And she came up. And when she came up, her husband came up. And then the Lord began just to work some things. And so while she began to just weep, and she said, I heard her say, she said, oh, I don't want this anymore. And then while you saw the relief come, you saw the change come. Mm-hmm. She bent over a little bit, and you saw change. You saw things had to leave. I ain't had to touch at all, you know. It just things began to leave. And that's why she said, oh, I just feel so much better that, oh, I just feel like I'm free. You know. Now, that should be a common experience for all of us. Because what? We know people who have issues, whether it be in our family, you know, whether it be in our neighborhood, on our job, they have issues. And here we are, the carrier of the anointing. Here we are with joy. Gave me no greater joy. That was Easter. That was Resurrection Sunday. It gave me no greater joy than to see her set free. That was better than all the other celebrations we had done during the whole service. To see her set free. Not only set free, but empowered to set someone else free. I love it. Oh, boy, I love it. Now there's hope for everybody. And the Lord says, you are such a storehouse. And in the storehouse shall be deliverance and holiness. Amen. And you shall possess their possessions. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Y'all so quiet. You're so quiet. Mm-hmm. You received it? Let's go back to Samuel and let me finish. How am I doing, Fred? Am I doing all right? Okay. Fred is one of my key servants in the church. You ever want to see a servant? You should come watch Fred. Fred is a superb servant of the Lord. Okay, now, let me read on. It said, now, verse 7, and David said unto Abiathar, the priest, Ahimelech's son, I pray thee, bring me hither the ephod. And Abiathar brought thither the ephod to David, and David inquired at the Lord, saying, shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover all. So David went, he and the 600 men that were with him, and came to the brook Besor, where those that were left behind stayed. But David pursued, he and 400 men, for 200 abode behind, which were so faint that they could not go over the brook Besor. Okay, that means that where God is about to take you, there'll be some who just won't have the tenacity to go right now. Where your pastor is taking you, some of you may not have the tenacity to go right now. But he's gone. Because there's a mandate upon his life to go. Okay? And he's going to lead as many who will follow. But in the long run, it's going to be for the good of everybody. God is not about trying to leave you behind. He's giving you time to catch up. You understand that, right? You know, if you don't have the nerve right now to lay hands and to cast out demons and to see the bands of wickedness removed, maybe you're still going through some things yourself that has kind of made you a little faint. And you just need some more building up. God is the type of God that will nurture you, bring you right along, so you can walk in the fullness of your destiny, of your calling and the anointing that's in your life. It's in your life. You sometimes just don't realize that it's in your life, although circumstances would say otherwise. And you find yourself sometimes having to repeat yourself once in a while, because David found himself having to see things repeated. And we'll talk about it just a little bit. I got so many things to talk about, you know. But anyway, David talked to the Lord, found comfort in the Lord, talked to him about his situation. You know, I try to tell families now, husband, have you ever talked to the Lord about your wife? Children, have you ever talked to the Lord about your parents? Well, it gives a whole different flavor, doesn't it? Have you ever talked to the Lord about your situation? That thing which seems to hold you, seems to control you. You know, have you talked about those things that the enemy seemed to have robbed you of? Well, he talked to the Lord. And when he talked to the Lord spoke back. The Lord assured him. Now, David had a habit of doing this from time to time. When he would enter into battle, he would talk to the Lord first. Am I going to win? And the Lord would give him answer, then David would go. Let's go to 2 Samuel, the 5th chapter, just right quick. Where am I? Okay. In 2 Samuel, the 5th chapter, and we'll start around 17 verse. Now, just to give you a little history here, David had been made king. Okay? And it's no sooner than he had been made king, things begin to happen. And the understanding I get from that, as soon as you begin to understand your sonship, things are going to begin to happen. Soon as you begin to grab hold to the thought that I'm a son of God, guess what? Some things are going to begin to happen. And it may not always be positive things. It might be some negative things that come to challenge you who you are. One thing your adversary doesn't want you to do, he doesn't ever want you to understand who you are and walk in it. Okay? And so he'll try to come. He'll come. Okay? And let's look at this. We'll see right here in David's life in verse 17. He was made king, okay, and what have you. And it says now, but when the Philistines heard that they had anointed David king over Israel, all the Philistines came up to seek David. And David heard of it and went down to the hole. And the Philistines also came and spread themselves in the valley of Rephaim. Okay. So they came to do battle. They came to oppose him. A young man made king. And they came to oppose him. And all I'm saying to you is you're gonna receive opposition when you decide that as a son of God, I can see the captives set free. I can see bands of wickedness loose from people. I can see those who are hurting healed, made whole. I can see the captive set free. And because of that, that understanding of the anointing that's there for you, that's in you, the gift of God that's in you, then there comes something to oppose it. Okay? Okay. And what I'm beginning to learn is that in the opposition, have no fear. Find comfort in the Lord. Talk to God about what's going on so he can give you direction how to respond. So here, we see something. We see something. And God is just so good. And he says now, and verse 19. And David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I go up to the Philistines? Wilt thou deliver them into my hand? And the Lord said unto David, go up, for I will doubtless deliver the Philistines into thy hand. Oh, man. It's easy to go into battle if you know you're going to win. Huh? And the Lord assures us of victory. You see, it's easy. If you inquire of the Lord and the Lord says, yes, go, and you should have victory. You should have good success. To me, that's what is there to fear? Okay. Amen. Amen. Let me read on. Now, I just want to point out this little part here, and then I'm going to quit. I'll quit, and then if someone needs prayer, then I'll pray for them. Okay? Verse 20. And David came to Baal Perazim, and David smote them there and said, the Lord hath broken forth upon my enemies before me as the breach of waters. Therefore, he called the name of the place Baal Perazim. Baal Perazim, it can be translated as breakthrough. Okay? And there they left their images, and David and his men burned them. But look at this now. And the Philistines came up yet again and spread themselves in the valley of Rephaim. And when David inquired of the Lord, he said, thou shalt not go up, but fetch a compass behind them and come upon them over against the mulberry trees. And let it be when you hear the sound of a going in the tops of the mulberry tree, that then thou shalt bestir thyself, for then shall the Lord go out before thee to smite the hosts of the Philistines. And David did so as the Lord had commanded him, and smote the Philistines from Geba until thou come to Gaza. Okay. Now, I hope I'm getting across to you. The Lord, sometimes you can pray and you can see some things happen to the good, but then it seems like it come back again. And this is what happened to David. He prayed, heard the Lord. God gave him victory at that time, but some things came back. And he went to the Lord again. And this time the Lord gave him a strategy that would put everything to the end. Sometimes this isn't the progression of your prayer. It's in the progression of your consistency of staying before the Lord. It's in your earnestness to be obedient and to do his will. That it seems like you happen to repeat some things, or you have to speak to it again. Okay. And I believe the efforts there is that you find yourself never leaving the Lord, never not trusting the Lord, but always depending upon the Lord. David had a sense of always finding himself depending upon the Lord. And we should always find ourselves depending upon the Lord. So if we have to speak to something more than one time, then we are able to go back to the Lord and say, well, Lord, should I do this? And the Lord will give you what to do. And here he gave David a sign. He said, now I'm going to let you know when I'm moving. He said, when you see the tops of the mulberry trees begin to move, that speaks to me of the wind. He said, in other words, when the wind starts blowing and you'll know the wind is blowing, or you know that I'm moving, because you'll see the mulberry trees begin to wave. He said, that's when you move. That's something to learn in that now. See, when we sense the moving of the flow of the Holy Spirit, and we'll know, that's when we move. Sometimes we have a tendency to move before God is moving. But here he gave David a sign. He said, when the mulberry trees start moving, you'll know. Everybody may not know, but you'll know that I'm moving. And I believe, we're talking about discerning the signs of the time and all this kind of thing. But I believe for this house, there will be a distinct knowing. A very distinct knowing. And you'll sense the wind of the Holy Spirit moving, the fire of the Holy Ghost moving, and you will find yourself moving right along. And you'll see God has already ordained this time. I begin to understand in Matthew 13 that God has angels already prepared to do what? To bring the breakthrough. To gather the harvest, to remove every obstacle that has hindered the gospel from going forth the way that it needed to go forth. Remove everything that would be an instrument of error, false teaching, false doctrine. I said I wasn't going to go but one more scripture, so... I'll just read it in Matthew 13, and y'all can prepare yourselves for me to close. And Matthew 13 says this, the 37th verse, and he talks about some things in this parable. Matthew 13, 37 says this, and he answered and said unto them, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom. But the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that soweth them is the devil. And the harvest is the end of the world. And the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity. In other words, the Lord will remove every obstacle that the call that is upon this house will indeed be met. He'll remove every obstacle. He'll remove every people. I believe that's an ordained thing for this house. And I believe the time is here. I don't know. Like I said, I don't know. Landon and I, we don't talk about all of the intricacies of ministry often. Most time we get together, it's a relief. But Father, I believe that's the word that God would give me for this house. And so I ask that you would judge it. Take that which you know to be good. Discard that which you know to be bad. Okay? So does anybody here that have a sense of breakthrough? I need a sense of breakthrough in their lives. Maybe it's in your finances, in your health. Maybe it's in your relationship. There's a sense that you just feel like, Lord, I need a breakthrough. And I would like to just agree with you concerning that and all, if you're here. Don't everybody get up at one time. Now, if you're not here, you're not here. That's no problem. Then I would you come to the front, and I will agree with you. Praise the Lord. Can I hear somebody say glory? This is a joyous time because it's a time when we can see the promises of God fulfilled and walked in and experienced. And so this is a great time. Amen? Amen. So if I can ask everybody else to be praying along with us and what have you, and want to experience the breakthrough that God has for our lives. Okay? And so, Fred? Okay. Amen. If I can have you praying along with me, that would be very good. Okay? Amen. Amen. Breakthrough. Amen. Breakthrough. Breakthrough. Amen. It's breakthrough. Breakthrough. Amen. 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 That's right, brother. It's going to be breakthrough. That's right, sister. Breakthrough. Amen. Breakthrough. That's right. I love it. That's right. That's what it's all about. Breakthrough. The Bible says that the anointing will destroy every yoke. And that which has hindered your breakthrough, you see, the anointing is here now to destroy that which has hindered your breakthrough. Amen. 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 Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so, you need breakthrough? You need breakthrough, right? You need breakthrough? Your baby, how long your baby? How long is it?
Next month.
Next month? All right. Good. What you praying about? What you? Got one already picked out?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, good, good. Come on, lift your hands. Lift your hands. Thank you, Lord. What's your name? What's your name?
Patty.
Thank you, Lord, for Patty. Mm-hmm. I come against every obstacle right now in the name of Jesus that will prevent them from having good success and being prosperous. Lord, you're giving them desires. And you said that they could ask for whatever they will, Lord, and you would do it. So I thank you right now, Lord, for providing for them that which they have need of right now. In the name of Jesus, to your glory, Father. Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you for wisdom. Thank you for power. Thank you for the authority, O Lord. I speak peace now, Lord. Where there was discomfort, I speak peace right now, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that the stores of heaven will be open, that the need will be met. Aboundingly, in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Mm-hmm. Give a breakthrough now, Lord. Right now, in the name of Jesus, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Give a breakthrough right now, Father. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Give a breakthrough now. Thank you, Lord. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Thank you for the anointing, Lord. Mm-hmm. Breakthrough. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. What's your request?
Here's what we'll do. If you'll just make out your check to Prague to invest in our friend, ease your way on. The guys will collect it to Rare Oak King. Okay?